to these children. When we're sitting in our house, when we're walking along the way, when we're riding in our car, when we rise up in the morning, and when we go to bed at night. So we see that Jesus did this. He practiced what he preached. So he taught the disciples, you know, as they walked along the way, and they were going to Jerusalem. And in verse 44, he says, and he tells them, it was my time, it was my time for him, the Son of Man, to be offered up. It was time for him to go and die on the cross for mankind. And the disciples, he said, they didn't understand that. And in verse 46, he says, the reason they didn't understand, you know, because they hadn't been taught that. They hadn't been taught that. So they didn't understand what Jesus was trying to say to them. And he reasoned among, and they reasoned among themselves. And this is what they said. They reasoned among themselves, and they were wondering which of them would be the greatest. And Jesus could read their minds and their thoughts. Remember he said, I know your thoughts before you think them. He could read their thoughts. So this is how Jesus answered. He answered their thoughts. Just like he heard that fig tree speak, and he cursed that fig tree and it died. You know, this is how he heard the disciples when they were speaking and talking. He understood their motives and their meaning and what they were thinking. He understood all of that. And he answered. And he answered the thoughts. The thoughts he perceived coming from their thoughts. And he says, this is how he answered them. And this is, he says, Jesus answered in verse 48, and he said unto them, whosoever shall receive this child in my name, he had a little child sitting by him, and he said, whosoever shall receive this child, receive this child in my name, receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me, he said, receiveth him that sent me. That means his Father, God. He said, if you receive me, if you receive this child, then you receive me. And then if you receive me, then you receive him that sent me, which is his Father. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be the greatest. So he answered that question. He said, who should be the greatest of us? And this was James and John, the two disciples that was with him. And he told them, he said, you know, the ones that among you, you know, that is the least among you, he shall be the greatest. See, saints of God, we need to draw lessons, and we need to see what God is saying, what Jesus is saying in these scriptures. I don't have time to go all over that right now, but this, whenever you get the word and you get the scripture, you should get these scriptures and you should begin to read them and study them, and you'll get more out of them than when somebody's just talking to you or giving you a lesson. And verse 49 says, John answered and said, Master, we saw on casting out devils in thy name. It said, we saw a man. This is what they saw. He said, Master, we saw a man. He was casting out devils in your name, and we forbade him because he followed not with us. See, saints of God, it doesn't matter if people are following with you, if they're not in your little group, if they're not in your church, your specific denomination, it doesn't mean a thing. Because as long as they're following the rules of God and the word of God, they're with us. And you're going to find out what Jesus tells them. And we forbade them, they say, because they didn't follow with us. And in verse 50, and Jesus said unto them, forbid him not, for he that is not against us is with us. See, saints of God, it doesn't matter if these people are in a different denomination. It could be Catholic, it could be Protestant, it could be Church of God in Christ, it could be Seventh-day Adventist. It doesn't matter what they have over the door. Because let me tell you something, what's over the door does not matter. The name that's printed over the door does not matter. It's what's in your heart and what you obey, that's what matters, you know. So he told them, don't forbid him, forbid them not. For he that is not against us is with us. Saints of God, there's more people that's with God than you think. Because you put them in a category of they're in this denomination, they're in that denomination. And so you have already categorized them and prejudged them. And God said that won't work. So how many know that Jesus lived what he taught? As he went on his journey with his disciples, he never stopped teaching them and enlightening them. He also demonstrated his words to them. The word that he was teaching them and preaching them, he also demonstrated them to him. And he healed a man with an evil spirit. And the daddy had taken him to the disciples and they couldn't do it. They couldn't heal him. So Jesus showed them how to heal and cast out that devil that was in that man. So now we're talking about Jesus demonstrating the words that he give us, you know, and a little time to show you through scriptures. I want to take a little bit of time right now to show you through scriptures the answers to the question, you know, do you know what spirit you're of? Jesus kept teaching his disciples as they journeyed on their way, and they was headed to Jerusalem. And in verse 51 through 55, we'll get to the heart of this question. Do you know what spirit you're of? This is the main emphasis that I want to put on this lesson, this question, and this answer applies to us today. It applies to us right now. Our question is, do you know what spirit you're of? And verse 51, and it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, you know, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. 52, and he sent messengers before his face. And listen, saints, God will always send somebody. Before he come, he'll always send somebody to warn you or tell you. So as they walked on this journey to Jerusalem, he sent messengers. That was James and John. He sent them, and they went before him, and they entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, to make ready for Jesus. Verse 53, and they did not receive him. The Samaritans did not receive them because, you know, his face, the Bible says, was as though he would be going to Jerusalem. That's how the Bible characterized it, is that his face was as if he was going to be going to Jerusalem. And verse 54, and when his disciples, James and John, saw this, when they saw this, these people did not, they didn't recognize Jesus. They didn't want to let him in to the city. And the reason is because the Jews and the Samaritans, they weren't getting along too good. And verse 54, and when his disciples, James and John, saw this, you can tell by the way this writer is telling the story that they were not pleased a bit. They were upset. That, you know, they didn't like the idea that Jesus wasn't welcome in Samaria. You know, the Jews and the Samaritans, like I said, they didn't get along very well together. They said to Jesus, this is what the disciples said, Lord, will thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elijah did? And now, Jesus, do you want us to call down fire from heaven like Elijah did? And the disciples knew, they knew some things because Jesus had taught them many things. But the disciples knew that they had the power to call down fire from heaven because they knew Elijah had did this, you know? But what they hadn't learned yet was how to cast out those devils until Jesus showed them as they was on this journey. See, we don't know all things, but if we keep following Jesus on this journey on our way to heaven, everything will be made clear to us. We're not going to get it all in one day, in one time, in one month, in one year. As we walk with God, he will make things clearer for us. And in verse 55, Jesus answered the question, should we call down fire from heaven to consume the Samaritans because they didn't receive him? And I want you to listen to what Jesus said. In verse 55, Jesus turned and he rebuked them. Do you know what a rebuke is? Jesus turned and he rebuked them. And this is what he said. Ye know not what manner of spirit you are of. Saints of God, do you know what manner of spirit? This is the subject of our lesson. Do you know what manner of spirit you are? Do you know?
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare broadcast with Evangelist Wanda Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wanda Bell, or you can write us at Evangelist Wanda Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 5884, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
If you'll turn your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, and this is talking about the priesthood of Jesus Christ, but I want to look at verses 8 and 9. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. Listen again at what this word says. Verse 8 of the 5th chapter of Hebrews. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. For just a little while, I want to talk about perfected through pain. Perfected through pain. It's amazing, my brothers and sisters, how Jesus Christ was obedient even though it caused him to suffer greatly. He was pained greatly to the obedience of doing the will of his heavenly Father, so that whosoever will would come into that right place and state with God the Father. There are some things that I think are so helpful for us to know. Again, I shared with you in the beginning that this speaks about the priesthood of Jesus Christ. And as we talk about in verse 8, that he was a son. And literally, it means he was the only true son of God, the one who sat with God, the one who was God. And yet he gave up all of those riches and all of that that he possessed in heaven to come down to planet Earth to do the will of his Father. Now, I want you to know something, because as we look at this text, and I, again, want us to see that as we talk about being perfected through pain, I hope it'll help us in our walk. Hope it'll help us in our struggles. I hope it'll help us on our journey in understanding when you belong to God, there are some things that you're going to have to go through to become everything he wants you to be. So many times we think that when we become saved, our problems go away, our circumstances and situations turn into all wonderful situations and happenings, and we feel as if because we're born again, have the authority of Jesus Christ, that there will not have a circumstance or situation to happen to us that is of the unsaved nature or come against us as if we were unsaved because we are born again and belong to God. May I say to you, that is nothing further from the truth than that mentality and philosophy. As a matter of fact, when you become the Lord's, the devil intensifies his issues with you. When you become saved, the devil moves you up on his hit list. When you become saved, then the devil himself wants to more than any time in the past destroy you. And so you got to realize that when you go through some things, it's not because you have missed the mark always. It's not because you've fallen short. It's not because you've sinned, but it is because Job gives us an illustration of that, that you have so pleased God that God has called the attention of the enemy to you. See, when you really start going through some hard stuff, stuff you've never gone through before, you might want to look, especially when you know you've got it together and you're doing what God wants you to do. Why are these bad things? Why are these horrific things happening to me? And it very well may be because God is getting ready to take you to another level. And sometimes in going to another level, you have to descend before you ascend. In other words, sometime temporarily, ask Job about it, you got to go down before you go much higher than you were before. Listen, there is a positive aspect to suffering. We all endure suffering to some degree, but the good news is that through it, we can become like Jesus. See, that's one of the reasons why he wanted us to understand. He said, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. Whatever he has gone through and overcome, he says, you shall overcome it also. So what was the purpose of Jesus going through these things? I'm glad you asked that. He went through these things as an example and as a pattern for us to follow. He wanted us to understand, if he, the Son of God, went through all that he went through without sin, never committed sin, never knew sin, never did sin, but yet he suffered as the worst sinner could ever suffer. What was the purpose of it? It was to be an example to, number one, the ones who are saved by him, who were sinners, to see that he suffered the death of the worst kind of sinner and yet knew no sin. And yet to those of us who are saved, that just because you're saved doesn't mean you won't encounter trouble. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you won't go through struggles. Just because you're saved don't mean you won't be tried. And just because you're saved don't mean you won't be tempted. But the word is clear that he was tempted in all points, like as we, but without sin. And so when we begin to look at this, the question is, are you willing to pay whatever it costs for you to become like Christ? There are some things that God can build into your life only through suffering. I want you to hear this. I said there are some things that God can build in your life only through suffering. You will never ever become all God wants you to be if you don't suffer, at least to some degree and some level, as Christ has suffered. You see, when you become a part of Christ's, and you identify with Christ, and to become like Christ means that you have to identify not only with the successes of Christ, but also with the sufferings of Christ. And we like to, as believers, as people of the Holy Family of God, we like to shout the victories of Christ and the successes of Christ and talk about how we have the authority and we walk in victory and all of that. And that's wonderful and good, and that is the truth. But here's the flip side of that. You can't shout the successes until you have grown and matured in the sufferings. You see, it's all right to shout on Sunday mornings when you had a good week. But it's a whole nother thing. Can you shout when you've been going through natural? Well, you know what you've been going through. Can you shout on Sunday when things are not going your way? Can you shout on Sunday when it's been the worst week you've experienced in your life? Can you shout on Sunday when your body is racking with pain? Can you shout on Sunday when enemies are within and enemies are without, and it seems like no matter which way you turn, it's a bad direction? Can you shout on Sundays when you are in a place where you don't even know where you are, and yet in the midst of that, you know God is still watching over you and keeping you? Can you shout on Sundays when you're on the bottom and the world is on top of you? See, it's when you know how to suffer that makes your shout sweeter when you're successful. See, because everybody that sees your glory don't really know your story. And I got news for you. Most of them ain't interested in it. Well, they want to know when you're rich and top, you know, on top and successful. How do I get rich? You need to tell them first, how do you fail? See, because it's not just about, listen at this, the pride in winning. It is the dignity in losing. Saying, listen, I may be knocked down, but I'm not knocked out. It may be rough right now. I may be going through a storm right now, but I'm going to hunker down and I'm going to weather this storm. When it all passes over, I'm going to be right here, because with God, I am stable, stout, and strong and can endure the worst of storms. You see, your pain comes to perfect you. Your pain, everything God allows you to experience, you may ask yourself, God, why am I going through this? I don't deserve it. And he says, you're right. That's why you're going through it. See, because if I got what I deserve, then I ain't got no reason to complain. But if I go through stuff I ought not have to go through, obviously God has a greater purpose. Try to live right. Try to treat others right. Pay my tithes, give my offerings, in prayer service, in Bible study. And yet it seems like I've got more troubles than I've ever had in my life, somebody says. Yeah, but what you don't realize is that God is allowing you, without you even knowing it, to be tested so that you can be perfected. It's all of these things that you're going through that's now preparing you for the end result. You see, what you don't understand is that God allows these things, and it's important for you to understand this, because you know many of us become bitter over hardships. But the hardships are not designed to make you bitter. They're designed to make you better. See, what a whole lot of folk don't even understand, and they miss the bigger picture. When you've come out of the hardship the devil betted God you wouldn't come out of, you round here whining and crying, being cynical and disillusioned, and God is throwing a celebration party for you coming out the valley. And you can't even enjoy the party because you're talking about, I shouldn't have had to go through all of that. I don't know why I had to even go through that. I try to live right, and you know the story that you're going with. And yet what you don't understand is that there was a larger picture beyond the process of your pain. It was designed to perfect you. So sometimes God allows your heart to be broken so that he can strengthen it beyond breakage. Somebody missed that. I said, sometimes God allows your heart to be broken so that he can strengthen it beyond breakage. In other words, when the devil did what he did to you and he thought after breaking your heart it would destroy your life, no, God said, give me all the broken pieces. And God puts them back together again in such a way that he now, and I got news for you. What you don't understand is the reason your heart got broken in the first place was because it wasn't pliable, soft enough. It was too rigid and frigid. It didn't want bend. So because it didn't want bend, guess what happened? So now that your heart is a soft heart, no longer a stony heart, when the devil try to break it, it'll just bend. Y'all not hearing me here. He takes what the devil meant for evil and he turns it all around for your good. And so you don't understand that the pain that you're feeling now is a part of the process for your perfection. I wish I had a helper in the house. Listen at this, because I want you to see this. The word says again, though he were a son, yet learned. Now let me just say this to you. If Christ had to learn, and this literally means going through the experience, because he could have spoken them, but it wasn't until he went through them. He came down to do the will of his Father, and he was clear about the will of his Father. But it wasn't until doing the will of his Father that he became perfected, that he was complete, that he had matured in all of the things that had been assigned to his hand. Look at this. He learned, again, yet he learned he obedience. How did he learn the things of obedience? By the things which he suffered. See, there are some lessons that you learn in suffering, but you can't learn the lesson unless you are obedient. Did somebody hear what I said? You don't have to ask God, why are you allowing this to happen? When you know the word, you will recognize that if he allows it to happen, that there is a greater a triumph more than the test that you are going through. That there is a blessing that is greater than the lesson. And all of this is for God's glory and for your good. See, sometimes depends on how high God elevates you. He's got to prepare you for the elevation. Listen, it's true in the physical realm. It's true in the spiritual realm. It's true in every realm. There must be a preparation for elevation. Even if you take the physiological state and the physical state, and you prepare yourself to go up into higher climates, I want you to understand that the air is thinner at the top. If you decided to go in